What's up and welcome to the Single Player Experience. I'm your host Sebastian Malden, and in this episode, we're doing a deep dive into Gotham Knights. I say we because aiding me in this battle is our special guest for this episode, Colton Petrie. Colton is the host of the wonderful Just Dumb Enough podcast, and he's a lifelong Batman fan. Seriously, he's read a lot of the Batman comics, he's played all the games, and he's watched all the Batman-centric movies and TV shows. As a matter of fact, saying that he's a Batman fan is an understatement. He even has 3 Batman-centric tattoos. So, when I decided that I was going to do a deep dive episode on the Gotham Knights, I just knew. I knew that I had to have Colton to be on this episode. So, without further ado, we're about to give you all the good and the bad of Gotham Knights. DJ, hit the beat. This is the Single Player Experience, the podcast that helps single player gamers manage their video game backlog. I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and my main quest is to help you manage your ever-growing video game backlog by letting you know which single player games are worth your time and money so that you can have the best single player experience. Now, without further ado, let's start the show. DJ, cut the beat. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said in the intro, we have a very special guest with us today. He's the host of the Just Dumb Enough podcast. He's an all-around awesome nerd, and he's the expert in all things Red Hood. Glad to have him back on the Pro Nerd Report podcast. But this time we're doing the Single Player Experience podcast because we're doing a deep dive into a single player game known as Gotham Knights. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Colton Perry. Colton, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing? Thanks for having me back.
Man, I'm glad to have you back. So, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm excited to have you on the show and really excited to do a deep dive into this game. Talk about some of the good things, some of the bad things, probably a lot more leaning more towards negative on my side of the fence. So, but I'm excited to see what you have to say about it.
Yeah, much like my first trip on, I got some hot takes and I love throwing them out there.
I'm excited to hear it. So, Colton, for the people who hadn't listened to your first iteration of being on like the Pro Nerd Report podcast, can you tell people about yourself?
Yeah, so like you said, I am the host of the Just Dumb Enough podcast. So I spend a lot of time interviewing experts in different fields. When I'm not doing that, I spend a lot of time getting into all things nerdy, where I get super into video games. I get really into comics. I love manga. I love anime. Like, I just spread myself real thin on my free time with everything that I can get my hands on.
That's what's up. That's what's up. I'm glad to hear it. So, you know, you're an expert in Red Hood, like one of your favorite characters of all time in all the mediums, you know, like not just DC, just like all across mediums. You even have Red Hood tattoos, man. So
I do. Yeah. I have a Red Hood tattoo runs from like knee to ankle. So
yeah, that's
dope. I would say a big fan.
Yeah, pretty big fan. So what was your excitement level like for this game?
Oh, I was really excited for it. Like, obviously getting to see the extended, not fully extended, but extended Bat family. I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. I'm so ready. You know, I think we'll get into how that went. Yeah. But I also made like a prediction last time I'm on here. I don't know how you felt about it, or I was like, I talked it up a bit. I had a lot of hope. And I was like, you know, I still gave it like a max score on an 8 out of 10. I think I overestimated that a little bit.
Just a little bit, but it's all good. It's all good. So let's talk about our backgrounds with like Batman in general and our backgrounds with like the Arkham trilogy, with the Arkham universe, including like Arkham Origins. For me, myself, I played through all the main games and Arkham Origins. Arkham City is probably my favorite out of all the Arkham games. I really love the open worldness of it. I really think like they nailed the story, even though I think Arkham Asylum would be like my adaptation that I would love to see in a movie more so than City. I love City for some reason. It just feels like the perfect Batman video game is for me. So like, that's probably my favorite, and I really haven't seen them hit that kind of high since then, even though I do enjoy, you know, Arkham Knight as well. What about yourself? What's your favorites? What's your history with the Arkham trilogy?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree. I think Asylum is probably the best, like, narrative delivery they gave me. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just that, like, while I enjoyed Arkham Knights, they twisted a lot of origin stories in there to, like, change their narrative that I didn't super love, where I'm like, they made Jason Todd this whole other character with this weird other backstory working for like a different guy, and I'm like, this is not how this character works at all. No. But thanks for putting him in the game, I guess. So like, yeah, Arkham Knight lost a lot of points for me where I was just like, you really threw me for a loop here.
Yeah, I understand that completely. And the crazy thing is, like, I liked the part where you actually got to play as the Red Hood in the DLC. Like, that part really felt like, oh, this is the Jason Todd we deserved more so than, like, this generic Arkham Knight character that you kind of threw at us last minute.
Well, and it was a lot of fun, like, because that character's gameplay contrasted really heavily to how you played Batman in the rest of that game, where you're like, when you're playing Red Hood, like, that's a different character.
Completely. He deserved his own like mini game because like he played so differently, and like I would have really loved to see what they would do with like that kind of lore, what they would do with like the damage that he sustained, because like they did tell his really like origin story as far as like his interactions with the Joker really well. It was just the way they tied it into the main plot, introduced the Arkham Knight character, that went awry.
Yeah, it was a strange twist.
It really was.
Because I was sitting here and I'm like, who the hell is this Arkham Knight? What is this? But, you know, all things aside, like, I enjoyed it. And I'm glad to see, you know, anytime Jason Todd can get some face time in a game, like, I'm all for it.
For sure. So let's get diving into, like, the topic of the show. I mean, Gotham Knights, like, what'd you think about it overall?
It definitely had a lot it could have improved on. I would say, like, I think the main reason that I overestimated this is because I didn't think that its biggest problem would be that it undid all the progress that the other games had success with.
Yeah,
because there was things like the other games, including Origins, like had great success with, and they like stripped that backwards to make this game, which felt like the weirdest process I've ever seen. So it definitely like had a lot of issues.
Oh, it really did. To your point, like, it almost feels like this game, like, mechanically came before those games, because those games feel more polished. They feel like they have systems that are well thought out. This game kind of feels like a 360, like, PS3 type of game that was just kind of made as a quick beat-em-up that they didn't quite flesh out. And then, like, the Arkham games sort of came after it and really, like, established, like, hey, this is how you do a Batman game. Instead, we got the reverse, so it's really weird.
Yeah, it's almost like it would be the last entry into like the PS3, where you're like, oh man, graphically it looks so pretty on here, even though like there's some janky things. Like, this is really an impressive game. But when you throw that, not just like forward into the PS4 era, but all the way into a PS5, like it fails some benchmark tests.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and even not even like the 30 FPS problem, because like, I do admit it is jarring to play like a game in 30 FPS in 2022. But like, that to me is not like the main problem of the game. The main problem to me is like the direction of the game and like the way that they kind of like designed the game and the mechanics of it. Because like, that to me is the core game itself is my main problem with it.
Yeah. And I would say that's like, one of my hot takes is going to be, I didn't feel the 60 FPS hit because like the processing in the game had a way larger issue than its frame rate.
Oh, for sure.
So the 30 FPS, like I could take it or leave it. Like I said, the game wasn't graphically impressive enough to like demand these higher frame rates.
Yeah.
So I was like, I didn't even really notice it. I just like played through the game, walked away. Like when I hear people's like top selling point that they're like wasn't 60 FPS, I'm like, didn't really stop me from playing the game at all.
No, for sure. And you really don't really like feel it. It's like you don't feel that difference between like the 30 FPS and the 60 FPS in the sense that like, oh, this drastically made a big difference in how that game came out. It's like, that's not the reason this game is like awry to a lot of people. It's the fact that the mechanics aren't necessarily meshing with the open world that you built.
Now I will say, like, when its processing took a hit, you notice that frame rate a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because the frame rate suddenly drops to, like, 14.
Yeah.
Like, what am I playing?
That is true. So, what are some of the good points you really liked about the game?
So, like, I would say the first good point where if I was trying to sell somebody on this game, like, if you want Bat Family content in your games to fill your life, to, like, give you new stuff, this was a great game for that. I think it gave a lot of content in that session where you're like, yeah, look at all the things that we introduced with these characters coming to the game and the interaction that they have, even if there's like a lot of weakness underlying the game. Mm-hmm. Like, it is good new content that you're like, yeah, new stuff.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I like the way they kind of gelled together as well, because they do seem like kind of like this makeshift family that was put together. And even though they have their issues and they're kind of almost Ninja Turtle-esque, so to speak, in the way, like that's, I kid you not, like a lot of their like dynamics reminded me of Ninja Turtles, so to speak. Like, because I'm like, okay, Batgirl is clearly Donatello and, you know, Red Hood is clearly Ralph. And then you can take or leave it with the other two. Like, they can be interchangeable. Michelangelo's there, but like, it very much felt like Ninja Turtles to me.
There was a lot of stuff that I saw where people were like, I'm getting a real Raph Leo vibe off these two right now.
Exactly.
I'm like, there really is. I don't know if it's because there's four of them and they tried to give them different enough personalities that it just like fell right into that archetype that like TMNT just established so well, or what it was. But I think everyone I've talked to has that same feedback where they're like, I'm getting a real Ninja Turtles vibe on this.
Yeah, it makes me like, the crazy thing is I was playing this game and I was thinking like, this could have been a dope Ninja Turtle game. Like if they were they just really went hard and committed with it and, you know, maybe made this like into a beat 'em up, like open world beat 'em up versus like trying to emulate so much on Arkham. And I'm like, because you took a lot from Arkham, but then you didn't take enough of it to actually be Arkham. So I'm like, I don't necessarily know who you were trying to appease and like who you were like making this game for, but like, I would have loved a dope Ninja Turtle game that would have been like an open world beat 'em up game. Just kept it stupid, simple, and fun.
Yeah. And another point, like the open world co-op in this game was actually super impressive for me, because you could play with your friend, like I did, all the way across the map from each other, completing two missions at once and just like rapidly accelerating your timetable to completion. Because that's what we did. We just ran tandem missions all the way across the map.
Oh, I wish I would have done that, because like, I'm not gonna lie to you, there was parts where I feel like this game slogs.
Yeah, like I am all for a grind. I play lots of grindy games, but you gotta have like a fun grind.
Yeah.
And this game, like most of its repetitive missions, like did not do that for me.
Oh, for sure. I'm like, but it did have some really cool like aspects, because like the interrogation aspect, I really like for the first 10 times that I, you know, interrogated a bad guy on the streets, really felt cool. And then it kind of wears itself thin after like the 11th through 110 times that they require you to do it in the game. But like, I really enjoyed some of the mechanics that they introduced here. It just didn't seem, it was too repetitive and then not well fleshed out enough to where like, it's few and far between and make you want more. Like, they didn't make you want more. They made you, like, really just kept hammering same mechanics over and over again.
Yeah, and I would say that's, like, the benchmark now that I have for open world is I'm like, give me what Spider-Man gave me.
Oh,
or, like, I want to be in this world. I want to explore this world. Whereas, like, this game, as soon as you have the ability to like fast travel or move quicker, like you're using it.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
I'm done. I want to move as far as I can, as fast as I can.
For sure. So like going into this game, one of my biggest critiques in this is the traversal. And it's not just like the bat cycling. It's the way you unlock like the Gotham Knights abilities, like their traversal into the world abilities. For me, like I played a lot of this game as Batgirl, and I could not fathom for the life of me why they had you unlock a cape. Like the fact that you can glide with her cape, that was unlockable. I'm like, she didn't learn that on her first night out with Batman, like how to glide.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt, and I think that's probably something that is like a pain point for all leveling ability games, because they tried to make this an RPG, which it just didn't really need to be. And I would say like these characters, when you're playing them in this game, felt like it's their first day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these are established heroes. Like, they are supposed to be a staple in this world. And even, like, your NPCs, like, everyone just treats you like garbage, like it's your first time doing this.
They really do. And I'm like, Nightwing has a whole city that he protects. Like, a whole city. So it's like, even if you were, like, had the argument that, like, the other three were kind of, like, brand new to doing this, I'm like, Nightwing has clearly done this enough to where he's done this as Robin and as Nightwing in his own city in Bloodhaven. So I'm like, where is this coming from? Like, where is this coming from narrative-wise? And where, and like, how did you get these RPG mechanics here and make it make sense? Like, just make it make sense for me.
Well, and they say it, like, super early on, you know, in the game, Barbara addresses the fact that she's like, you know, back in the streets, back, you know, in the cowl, so to speak, after being Oracle, which infers that she was in fact Batgirl before this again.
Exactly.
So she should have like a humongous wealth of experience, and like you're saying, to not be able to do some of the most basic suit functions.
Man, it really doesn't make sense. But this game does have nuggets of goodness. Like, I liked their personal stories. Like, for if you, like, you know, go into the city or, like, interact in the, was it the Belfry? And you can, like, start those, like, personal cutscene missions or cutscenes to where, like, it'll give you some really cool backstory about, like, each character or, like, some of this or what that character is going through at the moment. For, like, Batgirl, a lot of it had to do with her father. And I really, like, I liked a lot of that story around it. Some of it didn't make sense, but I liked, you know, that they at least tried to like flesh her out further.
Sure. And there was like a really, really good one that stuck with me was Red Hood just like absolutely blasting the hell out of this dummy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw it. And they're like, you know, Tim comes up and he's like, hey, these are hot loaded, like real bad. Like yeah. You're going to kill somebody doing this. And I know that's kind of your thing, but remember, we're trying to be, you know, we're trying to be like Batman here. We're not trying to kill these people. And they have like this real back and forth where he's like, I'm not killing anyone. You're being a baby about this. Like, they don't pull punches. Why should we? And Tim just like stands in front of the dummy and says like, okay, if you believe in it, then shoot me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a real moment where like you see the struggle of Jason, like, I really want to prove myself right. But he acknowledges, like, all right, maybe they're a little hot and I'm not going to shoot you. Like, we could dial it back. Like, there was a really fun interaction in that.
Yeah, so there's some really deep moments in there. And another, like, piece of lore that I really enjoyed is the emails. Like, the emails further flesh out this universe and, for like, further flesh out these characters and how they interact with, like, the DC universe. Like, oh, my goodness, some of the, like, emails that we've gotten from other people like Superman and such like that was like, I was like, okay, I want more of that. Like, further flesh out this world.
Yeah, I think those should have been, like, as weird as it would be, mandatory.
Oh, for sure.
Like, read the emails, whereas I think a lot of people just, like, skipped over that stuff. Like, for they didn't care.
Yeah, and I can understand why a lot of people skipped over it and why, like, a lot of people kind of, like, rushed through this game because, like, I had that same, like, interaction. I was just like, I'm enough of a Batman fan that I really want to like absorb this story, but I'm not enjoying myself enough to like really want to dive deeper into this world. Like, this isn't for sure going to be a game I platinum or like do 100% of the achievements. Like, there's no chance in hell that's going to be me.
Yeah, the game could not hold your attention for that long. And I think, especially if you're designing like an RPG that has planned DLC, and I mean, even against like the initial launch DLC, which is a whole thing for me, but if you're planning an RPG, like, you want to keep your players as long as possible, and this game didn't feel like it was trying to keep you there.
No, no. But, like, so what console did you play this on, by the way?
I play it on the PS5.
Okay, same here. So, like, I don't know if you're playing, like, God of War at the moment, but, like, one of the things I thought about after, like, because I played Gotham Knights, and then I kind of, like, jumped into, God of War pretty, you know, close together. And one of the things God of War does really well is, like, Mimir and some of the group tells a story, you know, like, they tell a story while you're doing, like, minute things in the world, like, while you're just living into the world. And I'm like, why didn't you just, like, have these characters call, like, your Gotham Knights, like, from the, instead of emailing, like, instead of doing the emails? It'd been really cool if, like, you just had, like, Clark calling and, like, giving his condolences or, like, you know, like, have, you know, with, let's see, like, maybe, like, some of the Teen Titans, for instance, like, call and say, like, hey, checking in on you, like, are you free to talk? Like, even in, like, the Arkham series, they had, you know, like, Alfred would steadily call, and it would kind of make that world feel more lived in. It would kind of make those characters feel well-connected. And I was like, you can do that while still giving the players, like, freedom to kind of move around. You don't have to have them, like, strapped on like you were in the Arkhams, where like Bruce was constantly holding his ear or like constantly looking at his wrist. You can just have them like talk in the background, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think, you know, another good example of that, like going back to Spider-Man, there's audio files that play while you're swinging around, while you're fighting. Like, they just happen in the background.
For sure. Yeah, I'm like, Spider-Man's a perfect example of how they could utilize the mechanic. But, and that's like one of the sad things about this is like, I know they've like, there's had to be someone on the team who played Spider-Man, or at least, you know, looked at Spider-Man. And
yeah,
how does this game come out after Spider-Man and not utilize some of those like basic open world mechanics.
Yeah, I think this game felt like it should have been released a long time ago and we were just kind of getting it late. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh yeah, this is a game for people who wanted to play it back when we promised it.
Yeah.
Not current gen stuff.
Yeah, so let's get into some spoilers. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going into spoiler-rific like territory here. So, Colton, what did you think of the story of this game?
I mean, honestly, it's one of my biggest pain points was like the writing and voice direction in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was not great.
Oh, I think it wasn't.
It had an interesting like subplot where you're like, you start out with Raish and then you follow Talia and, you know, all the way into this like entire Lazarus arc. But I just like, I wasn't drawn in. And I think that's because some of the like writing was so suddenly explosive
mm-hmm.
that like it broke my immersion. You know, like I couldn't pretend it was happening anymore. Because even like small stuff where you have like Tim interact with Alfred, like the chess game,
mm-hmm.
where he's like, oh yeah, I'm playing my final game with Bruce. There's just like Tim sits down, says a sentence or two, and then just like explodes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like yelling. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Like, I don't believe any of this.
No. And, you know, before I like give my thoughts on the story, here's a hot take of mine. I don't think they should have used Tim Drake as Robin in this game. Like, I think Damian Wayne would have been like perfect for this. And especially if you wanted someone a little more on the angsty side of the fence as well. Like you were trying, like you alluded to a second ago, like Tim Drake is a little angsty in this game. Like there are moments to where like he's all over the emotional spectrum. And I don't necessarily think this game did any favors for his character or like in this portrayal, at least. I would have really liked to see what Damian would have done, you know, like with the reaction of what happened to Bruce. And like, that could have been a really cool story to tell.
Yeah, I think like Tim would have been very well utilized if you used him like an anchor for mm-hmm. the team to like, you know, rally around instead of kind of what they did.
Yeah.
Because it was like, he was a rough character to be. They were all a little rough.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I know you spent a lot of time playing as Batgirl. Like, her voice acting was kind of atrocious.
It was. I'm like, and that's just the thing, though. I can't think of a solid voice performance in this game. Like, and I know I'm like accustomed to like some of the, you know, like, I guess you could say on like the OG characters and the OG voices of like the game, such as like Harley Quinn. Like it threw me off to have such a strong contrast in what we normally see in the Harley Quinn character. And even like Alfred, you know, like I get it. It's similar, but it's not quite the same as what we're used to with Alfred. So I'm like, everything felt like a lesser than version, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure like, if you asked them if they'd blame this on like everyone being separated and we couldn't record together or mm-hmm. everyone was working remotely and so we didn't get that good collaboration. But yeah, it just felt like some weird mismatches in there where you like you could tell they weren't talking to each other most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like big dramatic scenes and you get like the most lackluster response out of the character where they're like, spoilers, you know, you're falling into like a pit of dead bodies.
Oh, yeah.
And your character's just like, oh, that's sad. And you're mm-hmm. like, what? You just uncovered hundreds of dead people and your response is like, eh.
And you're among them, though. Yeah, you're among them as well. So
you're lying in the pit. And it's
Yeah, it is terrible. Like, it is terrible. And I cannot fathom, like, and that gets back to, like, my main critique of the story, though. Like, they had a really compelling villain at first with the Court of Owls. Like, the Court of Owls is a really cool, really cool comic book arc and a really compelling story. And, like, I can't believe they didn't even have Talon in this game.
Yeah, I entirely agree because that was my entire thought where I'm like, holy crap, we're getting Court of Owls. We're going to mm-hmm. see Talon. Like, this is going to be incredible because it's a really good, like, well-built comic arc.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all you have to do is follow literally the comic arc. Just
that's
like
it.
Run it. And then they're like, nah, not doing that.
So I don't necessarily know, like, and I know you're a big Red Hood fan. I would have loved to see this be a primarily like maybe two character kind of like two character journey, because I do think like when you have all four of these playable characters, so to speak, and while I get it, show some love. I love the fact that they're showing some love to each of the, like, I guess you could say, like, sidekick like characters in this, you know, like I love that they're showing some of the love to the Bat family. I just wish that they would have maybe chose two and really hammered in like a really compact story with those two characters. Whichever two characters they would have chose, whether it be Red Hood, whether it be Batgirl, Jim Drake, or Nightwing, just really focus in and make this like a character piece.
Yeah, I think that was a broad weakness in this game, is that they made the game so open and playable to whatever character you wanted to pick that they all felt the same. Like, they all went through the same scenes. They all had the same kind of dialogue. Like, there was no dramatic shift in the story if you, like, played one over the other.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. So, going back to, like, the performances of this, did you have any character that really stood out to you in this?
I mean, I liked playing as Red Hood. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fun. They did build, like, very specific characters in very specific ways, where it's like, if you want to play kind of like Arkham, you know, you're playing Batgirl.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
If you want to be like a ranged DPS character that has to build into ranged DPS, like, you're playing Red Hood.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be like the upfront, like, you're gonna play Nightwing. Everyone had like a really weird, like, carved in role that they couldn't grow out of.
That's true.
And that was a little strange to me. So I played around with all the characters and I found like strengths and weaknesses in everyone, but I didn't have anyone that was like, wow, this was an amazingly built character.
No, same here. Same here. So I was thinking as well, like, one of my main critiques of this game is the fact that as you're playing, you have these spongy boss battles that I absolutely hated. I can't remember the last time I despised a boss battle more than the Mr. Freeze boss battles. Like, it's not the fact that they're, like, difficult either. It's the fact that they just feel like bullet sponges. Like, he is a very well-known and very complex character in the Batman universe. And you just seem to have, like, generic motivations for him. And the fact that, like, his boss battles didn't seem very fun to me. Did you have the same kind of viewpoints there?
Yeah, I had the same thing where it's like, you knew it was a boss battle, but it didn't feel like there was a really elevated stake or that they like drew you into that fight. Like, I want this fight. You're just like, no, I know this is the next fight and I have to do it.
Yeah. Even, and like, I hated the fact that I had to fight him twice. Like, I had to actually fight him twice. And I was upset about this. I was like, I don't want to do another one of these kind of like bullet spongy. I'm just wearing his health down. And for me, I don't know if maybe I was like, maybe it's because I play this solo and maybe it's because like, maybe I was like underleveled or anything, but it took forever to be like wear him down. And that's with dying only like twice. Like, it took like legitimately 45 minutes for me to like wear down his health enough to like polish him off.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was like the misstep, is like, you didn't want to fight any of the bosses really. You're just like, yeah, this is the next one. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I didn't also like the Harley Quinn setup. Like, even like, her going from jail to the hospital, I couldn't think of a standout moment that I really enjoyed with her as well.
Yeah, I think everyone was like that. Like I said, the writing was such a miss on this game that just, like, I couldn't do it for the most part.
I understand that completely. Did you, is there a boss that really kind of stood out to you, or a boss fight that you actually enjoy?
Not really. I mean, like, the biggest interaction I enjoyed was actually with the Penguin. Like, with Oswald, it was like, it was a really good written scene, but that's about where it ended, right? You had a really cool conversation and a really fun interaction, and you got like a lot of story dump, but you know, there was nothing else, like, no other villain where I was like, oh, this is the best.
Oswald, like, like, also felt like he actually felt like his character, though. He felt like this is a solid adaptation of the Penguin. I really didn't have any complaints, like, from the character performances or even, like, the way he was portrayed in this. Like, he actually felt like I would, like, the Penguin from, like, Batman the Animated Show. Like, yeah, I didn't really see very many differences in the way, like, his character came across.
Yeah, it was very, like, he was smart. Mm-hmm. You know, he had things set up. He had contingencies. He also just, like, flew off the handle when it was emotionally necessary. Like, he just burst out and had a whole thing, but... You know, like, you didn't get that out of Freeze, which is weird because Freeze has, like, tons of good character building outside of, yeah, the game.
Oh, for sure. And, like, what happened with Nora? Like, why did all of a sudden Batman die and he just flip his script and not even, like, just go hard in on, like, curing Nora?
yeah, it felt like he didn't have a good motivation.
Oh, for sure. I don't know where they were going with that. And to make matters worse, like the Man-Bat like boss fights were probably the worst boss fights I've probably played in video games in the last couple of years.
Yeah, like I said, I don't feel like they put all that much attention into any of the, like you said, everybody's just kind of a sponge. They were just a reason to get to the next place.
Yeah, they really were. And to make matters worse, like, I hated Man-Bat. Like, the fact that you had the Man-Bat boss fight, and which was, you know, a cooler introduction the first time around. And then they make you fight the same boss fight three separate times. And you have to hunt him. Like, it's not like you have to fight, you know, like he comes to you or anything like that. He preys upon you. Like, you have to go hunt this boss fight that you just did three separate times in the game.
Well, it's not like the fight, he doesn't like learn from you. It's like, oh, if you use this tactic in the first fight, he's going to have a perfect counter for it. So you make your own fight harder. He was just like, no, it is this fight, same moveset, same health bars, just go.
And I'm glad you brought up the adaptation thing. Like, that is one of the aspects I really enjoyed of the Arkham series, is the fact that your enemies and learn from you gradually, you know, like whether it be the underlings that learn, you know, like, oh my goodness, Batman takes you down like through stealth mechanics from the ceiling. Like, let's mitigate that. Let's have drums like circle around the area and like, let's stop him from doing that. Or like, oh, he's coming from the crates now. Let's burn these crates and he can't access that part anymore. Like, these enemies never felt like they learned or adapted. It just felt like the game kind of gave you like generic enemies that kind of like level up a little bit, but never really adapt to any of your like strategies. And to me, that feels like a misstep.
Yeah. Well, and I would say, like, there's another hot take for you. I heard that there was stealth issues. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't even confirm them because I almost avoided stealth entirely in this game.
Oh, did you really?
Like, I was glad that this game at least had, like, some combat, even if it was grindy, where mm-hmm. it didn't just break down to, like, hit the counter button at the right time.
Oh, okay.
Like, there was actually some fighting, whereas, like, I did the stealth for a little while, but it just felt like, oh, I could take down entire enemies of people without ever actually doing any combat, and it felt mm-hmm. really, like, weak to me. I get that there's like a heavy stealth element and there's supposed to be, but I just couldn't care.
I understand that. It's like the game also didn't give you a compelling reason to actually care for that.
Yeah, because you could clear out entire buildings, especially if you were playing like with a friend. Mm-hmm. It was so easy to clear out an entire mission, totally stealth, like, and never actually fight anyone. But it also didn't feel like you accomplished anything.
No.
You're like, oh, I walked up to the mannequins and I pressed, you know, square for takedown and then like walked away.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. Like, it didn't feel like, oh, I took down like another bad guy. Like, that stealth was really gratifying.
So let me ask you, like, speaking of things that felt like they were missing in this game, did you miss the Riddler trophies?
A little. Yeah.
I did a little bit, even though they're grindy. Like, I missed having something of that nature to collect, at least.
And this is one that, like, another thing I missed, which was a weird, like I said, de-evolution of the games, because in Origins, you actually had like a compelling investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And then this game, like, you didn't actually need to even put thought process into the investigations.
No.
Like, you just literally clicked, you know, directions and then you were done.
No, and I hate the investigation like process of this game, because like there are moments to where the game makes you like look at like, oh, there's a dead body. Let's go in and let's find out how this happens. I got so bored with those. I just start hitting that skip button. That very convenient, which, by the way, I got to give them kudos for it. They added a skip button, which is like, for how janky and how unrefined these like the investigation part is, you can skip it entirely. And I was like, okay, skip this. Tell me what beacon I need to go to on my map, and I'll go there.
Yeah, which would have been, like, made all the better if you had really challenging investigations. Like, if you looked at Origins, like, there was a 3D aspect and a time aspect, and, like, everything they threw into it was a really cool system, even if it, like, had issues. It was a lot of fun to see it happen. Like, you know, watching, like, the bullet angles and the, you know, the way things happened was cool. And this one just, like, I didn't care. Like, I saw it happening and I just literally started like scrolling across the screen looking for things to highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm like, I'll at least do it. And then I realized like I didn't need to be doing it at all.
No, for sure not. For sure not. So Speaking of Origins, I don't think any like moment in this game hit any of the highs that Origins did, which is, you know, like a lot of people call it like the, you know, like the quintessential like stepchild of the Arkham series. Like it was like just off there kind of on its own. And a lot of people kind of said, okay, that's like the off-brand like Arkham game. That felt better than this. And that's crazy to me. Like the highs of that game, especially with like finding Slade Wilson in that game, felt like better than anything in this game. And it wasn't even close. Like finding Electrocutor, I believe. He was the one you got the gauntlets from in the game. Felt better than fighting anything in this game.
Well, and that's the thing, is they like they gave you narrative drive to do it. Mm-hmm. Whereas this game's like, well, aren't you outraged? And you're like, no, I'm not at all outraged. I don't even care.
No.
Like, and, oh, it's time to save the world. Like, okay, well, that's a motivation, but it's not a motivation against any character. So it doesn't like, it just doesn't like really elevate anyone. Like even Origins did, mm-hmm. where they're like, and look who it is, Slade Wilson. And you're like, oh my God. Like, yeah. I'm so ready. Like there was just none of that.
So another critique I had of this game is like, for me as a hardcore Batman fan as well, like I don't think this made Batman look good by any means necessary. Like by any measure did this Batman come out looking better in this game? Because like, for one, I don't know how Batman could go all these years as Batman and not realize, you know, like who the head of the Court of Owls is, and he's the world's greatest detective. That blew my mind. Like that point alone was just like, okay, this universe's Batman obviously isn't up to snuff, like upstairs at least.
Yeah, the height of Batman in this game for me was his death at the very start of the game.
That was a really cool cutscene.
It was really cool. Like, mm-hmm. you know, some of the fight, I was like, all right, it's dragging on a little.
Mm-hmm.
But like the end of that, literally the initial cutscene, so there's no real spoiler there. Like the end of that was so powerful.
Oh,
it's like this charge and explosion. And like, I was like, yeah, that's a peak Batman to go out as.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like, you know, they ruin that a bit.
They really do. They really do. It's like they really start off on a strong like footing with that intro cutscene and never could pick up the momentum from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had plenty of notes. What are some of the other positives you had with the game?
So, like, my positives, like I said, it was good content, it was good open world. I thought the cosmetics were actually really cool.
Oh, some of those are really dope, especially, like, the costumes. Oh, man.
Like, you got a chance to play the version of that character you wanted, even if, mm-hmm. like, the actual role play behind it didn't level up, you know, like, voice-wise. You got to, like, look like the character you wanted to be and, like, you know, choose the things you wanted to choose. And even though I never use it in any game, I recognize this game had like a great photo mode.
Oh man, I've never really tried this game's photo mode. What made this one stand out?
I mean, it's just like if you were expecting like 4K excellent graphics, mm-hmm. the place you got it most was in photo mode. Like
That's a damn shame.
It looked spectacular. And I'm like, if the whole game looked like this, it would be a masterpiece graphically. It still would have like lots of flaws.
Oh.
But you didn't get it outside of a mode that I don't use in games.
That's crazy. Cause like, I guess because like, and I'm a kind of a photo mode person whenever a game looks like gorgeous. Like I played Horizon Forbidden West and like I took a couple of screenshots on that game. And I played like God of War Ragnarok in the original God of War, took some screenshots of that. Uncharted, same thing. It's just, but when it came to this game, I guess I was so focused on like, I got to get through this story. I got to get through it because like I'm as a Batman fan, I have to see this through and I have to just get on with it. It would almost felt like eating vegetables to where like, you know, like as a kid, you didn't want to eat those vegetables, but you were forced to, let's just get it over with. That's the way this game felt for me. So I never really tried the photo mode.
I don't think I would have if it wasn't for the moment that I had like, you know, somebody rushing at you and you just mm-hmm. like perfect last minute execute them. And I was like, that was so cool that I looked at the photo mode and I was like, oh, actually, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm like, oh, too bad it's a mode that I don't care about at all and gives me very little, like, you know, investment in the game.
Speaking of, you were talking about the executions. Some of the, like, the animations for, like, the executions were really well done. I got to give them credit for that because, like, some of, like, the takedowns with Red Hood and Batgirl were really, really well done. Even Tim Drake with like the staff, I found some of his to be really cool. Like, I never could click with Nightwing though for some reason in this game.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, props to the mocap department that like did all of the moves for this. Very well executed. But because even like, you know, I'm not a big Tim Drake fan. He's like the most forgettable Robin to me.
Oh, for
but
sure.
Even the like, oh, he uses this staff. Like, his takedowns felt very like, oh, the person doing this definitely knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It almost like felt Mortal Kombat-esque with the way he was using that staff. And I was like, okay, I gotta give you props for that.
And I will say, I have the same complaint that I had even about like every Arkham game, which is, even though you know everything is non-fatal, some of the things you were doing were like super fatal.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Where you're like, I just absolutely like broke this man's spine and then left him next to this burning fire in a building. Like, he's dead for sure. There's way he's not dead. So I've had that with every Arkham game where you just like blast somebody off a roof and then you're like, no, they're fine. They're sleeping at the bottom.
But, you know, like, the crazy thing is, like, games like Spider-Man, they at least want you to, like, believe that they're okay because you see that web kind of pop out and they get, like, they kind of get pulled into the building so you can see them sticking on the side of the building. In Gotham Knights, they didn't have anything like this. Like, I can just go down to the end of a skyscraper and that guy's just laying right there, like, just unconscious for some reason. I'm like, he fell 50 stories, man. This guy's dead.
This dude's super dead. Yeah, There was even a good video where somebody was like upset with the trash talking that the NPCs throw at you. And so they're playing Red Hood and they just pull their guns and just start like blasting this person into the corner of a building like 50 times. And then it's like, shh, they're sleeping. And then they walk off.
That's funny. That's funny. So did you like the driving in this game?
I thought it was okay. It was definitely like a step down from like Arkham with the Batmobile.
Oh, the Batmobile was gorgeous.
Cool. I had like a plus and minus for each of them. So the thing I didn't like about the Batmobile is that it was like a cinematic every time you had to use it. Whereas this one, like if I needed the cycle, like I could just point and direct it and I knew it was going to be there and I could continue like going on with my life. It didn't stop me from doing anything. But the driving with the Batmobile, like just smashing through things, was so satisfying. Cool. That moving to this, where it had like a soft avoidance system where you couldn't really like wreck it, you felt really fragile.
You really do. I will tell you, like, there became a point in this game where I started to miss that cinematic like entry of the Batmobile to where, like, because at least in Arkham Knight with the Batmobile, I felt like a baller every time. I was just like, every time I made that click click sound with like L1 or like LB, I believe it was on like the Xbox side of things, knowing that thing, I can just stand still and that thing's just going to swoop in and like I'm just going to like seamlessly get into that thing and then take off just in one motion, just like one quick motion. I'm like, it felt so satisfying. Whereas here, I could like point to where the bat cycles are going to be, but like I'd always have to run to them or I always have to like go up to them and then press enter. And I was just like, it never quite felt as cool as just like having those things come up and then you're just immediately taking off. Like, it always feels like it kills, this game works to kill your momentum. Like every single moment, like there's a momentum stopper there.
Yeah, I certainly get that. Like, I use them like a parkour obstacle where I just like direct it ahead of me while I'm running and just used it that way. But yeah, it definitely, it wasn't seamless by any measure. It wasn't good. Like,
no.
Even according to like, if you enjoyed driving around on it, I guess you could enjoy the mechanic of that, but it wasn't like a satisfying game mechanic.
No. So what are your biggest complaints with the game other than the ones we listed? Do you have any other major ones?
So, I mean, the one that would keep me from ever suggesting people pick up this game, I think has been touched on probably, you know, to death by other people, but it's the price tag. Like, this game did not feel like it should have a $70 price tag, much less knowing that they launched this game with DLC attached to it. I'm like, okay, so you sold me a partial game and then are going to make me pay extra just because. So, like, that's the thing, is people are like, oh, should I pick it up? I'm like, if it drops on a sale to like $20, absolutely pick it up.
Yeah.
It's a $20 game all day, every day, like solid play. at $70 with DLC attached, like that you'll have to buy as well. No way. I would never recommend it.
No, no. I'm going to be honest though. Like, I think this game like came out very similar in time frame to Saints Row, and they both have a lot of the same problems. Like, they both don't feel like fleshed out games. They both also don't feel like they're completed games. They both feel like they were both put out way before they were ready. And neither one of these games feel like they're actually worth like $60 or $70. Like, and they both feel like they're going to be extremely discounted games. Like, I saw Saints Row on sale today, and today being Black Friday, by the way, for all future listeners. But like, I saw that game on sale for $20. I saw Gotham Knights on sale for $27. And I looked at both of those, and I'm like, that kind of feels right. Like, that kind of feels like they should have been released at this price.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you're comparing them to other things. And I think that's part of like what held them back is, you know, they weren't designed with any like player experience in mind. Mm-hmm. Like, I know this is, you know, we're the single player experience, and this is a single player game, but it was also built to have, you know, a second player in it. And because of that, it kind of falls apart the same way. Like, this was not built for new gen consoles.
Yeah.
Like, it was built with both gens in mind. And I think they would have been way better off to just say like, nope, it's strictly new gen with all of the upgrades and the things that come with new gen systems. Like, it would have been a better performing game.
So let me ask you, like, the new gen conversation there kind of like ticks off a question in my mind, because like, how bad do you think this game would have been with all the bugs, with all the technical issues that it had? It was originally scheduled to come out also on the Xbox One and PS4. How bad would those versions would have been?
Well, so that's the thing. Like, I have the vanilla OG first gen PS4. Mm-hmm. I don't think it could have played this game. Mm-hmm. Like, because the loading would be absurd.
Oh,
like,
atrocious.
The first gen PS4 has no processors. So I'd have spent more of my time loading the game than I would have playing the game. And the same thing, like, you see performance dips on a PS5. Mm-hmm. So like, knowing the performance gap, like, I would have thought if I had played this on a PS4, it would have been unplayable in the same way that like Cyberpunk launched.
I think it would have been just as bad. I really do.
Yeah, you could not play this.
Like, no,
it would have been so bad.
And what I'm really thinking about here is like, I don't think it would have been playable, yes, but I also like, this game also feels like it should have been a PS4 game. Like, all the mechanics, everything about it, like, other than the load times, which, by the way, this did have like bad load times for a next gen console game. Like, I can't remember the last time I had load times that were this long enough to where like I can put like pick up my phone and like start scrolling through like Twitter. But like, I can't remember the last time I did that with a next gen game. And, you know, there were moments to where like this game kind of took a long time to load. And another thing that kind of bothered me about this, just going off on a tangent here, is like, there's moments in this game where they have you go back to the Belfry like after every single mission. Every single mission, and it just kills all momentum in the game.
Yeah, they're like, you know how you needed to be on the south side? Mm-hmm. Like, well, welcome back to the Belfry, go back to the south side. And you're like, oh God, why? Why are you making me do this?
For real though, and you have a communication system. Like, y'all can't just have like a meeting on a rooftop nearby, like where the next mission is going to be. That would have been like a huge time saver, and it would have been like super immersive in this world, because I cannot fathom that the rest of the Bat Gang were just hanging around the Belfry while one person was going out on a mission, while Gotham City was legitimately in anarchy around this time frame. Like, it doesn't strike me as realistic.
Well, and the only thing they ever say as to like why you're not all running together is they're like, well, this place, the Belfry needs to be set up, and Alfred can't just do it by himself, so he's going to need help. And you're like, that's it? Like, we're doing home dressing the whole time?
Exactly. And I'm like, so one person can't just help Alfred, and then three people are out on patrol? Like, in my mind, whenever they first announced this game, I don't know why I kind of like had this impression, but I thought it was going to be like GTA 5. And I don't know if you played GTA 5, but like in that, they had a mechanic to where like it just, your other people who you can also play as are just in the world, living their own world, and you just zoom in from the sky right into what they're doing at that time frame. It seems like Gotham Knights could have utilized that exact same system, and it would have been a little bit more like immersion there.
I think it would have been cool even if you just like put a vague AI version of the other characters in place to where you're like, oh, I hear some crime. Mm-hmm. And then you head over there and like Nightwing's already there, like wrapping up. Mm-hmm. You would have at least built some like competition in your player where you're like, oh, I got to beat these other AIs to the thing or just monitor my zone.
Oh, that would have been really cool.
That would have been cool because you'd have shown up and been like, I beat me. Where is he going? Like, mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to go a different direction because I know he's taken care of it.
Yeah, and then you could have had like Nightwing leaning on like a lamppost or something like that and been like, too slow or in saying something to that nature. That would have been really cool. And that's like my problem with this game. There's so many missed opportunities here.
Yeah. Because even if you put like a pin on your map so you knew that the AI was just like running in directions, mm-hmm. if you noticed there was something in the middle, you're like, I got to race to this point to beat, like, I got to beat Dick there. Mm-hmm. I have to beat him in order to like, you know, get the cred for cleaning up the situation. And then you kind of get to like make fun of the AI a little bit. Like if you get there and you wipe everybody out, then you look up and you see like Nightwing running across the top of the building. You're like, haha, not this time, bud. And then just like run off.
Oh, that would have been so cool. And then they could have like, to the point we were making earlier, they could have had just a conversation while you're completely in the wrong, like opposite direction. Y'all could have been chatting just on comms, you know, while you're doing your own things and been like, hey, not this time. And then he's like, man, I'm going to get you next time. Or like, I was like 2 seconds away or something to that nature.
Well, and that was like, I think part of the fun that if people did play this exclusively single and you didn't love the game, but you enjoyed it, like mm-hmm. try and matchmake or do something to play with someone else, because there is like a banter when you're in two player mode and you're in the same place, like your characters do chat back and forth. So like, it's a little extra fun. Like you get a little extra character development. I just would have liked to have seen that also in place in the single player.
Yeah, I think what you alluded to just now is like the main problem with this game, and it's a lack of identity. It's like, I don't think this game is a good single player game, but at the same point too, like I think they wanted to have their cake and eat it too with the multiplayer aspect. I just wish they would have stuck one lane or another, you know, like if they wanted this to be a multiplayer game, just really just honed in on that and really just leaned in to that. Like I know there are some people who play Borderlands as a single player, but like, for the most part, Borderlands to a lot of people, you're one of them, right? Yeah. But there's still like a lot of people who like associate that as a multiplayer experience. But they do that game so well as like you can still get a lot of satisfaction as like a solo gamer for that experience. This game didn't have those same mechanics or don't have that same like fun factor to where like if you play this game by yourself, you're still going to feel that same like the same satisfaction of like, oh, I'm still getting this same level of fun that I would have as a multiplayer game.
Well, I think you're dead on. Like at all points, this game missed its identity just in like, you know, fractions of a degree in either mm-hmm. direction, because you could have called this game like an action adventure mm-hmm. and it probably would have been more accurate than being like, oh, it's an RPG.
Yeah.
Because like there was no meta that you needed to build these characters. There was no like, you didn't need to research and get the right gear. Like you could have just clicked like upgrade every time you had the option and played through the game just fine.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm like, it didn't need to be an RPG at all.
No, like, do you think that this game was originally like Arkham kind of game and then they decided we want to do like a games with a service type of vibe to it? It feels to me like all the games with the service elements were like add-ons and that kind of like threw everything off.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely feels like this was built like on the Origins platform, stripped mm-hmm. down for whatever reason. And then they're like, oh, you know what would set us apart from the other Arkham games is if we let you customize. Like, mm-hmm. let's throw that customization in here. And you're like, pretty weak add-on, but okay. Like, I wouldn't build your marketing around it.
So it's safe to say we don't recommend this to like single player gamers, right?
Yeah, if you're like, you need the content, you want more like Batman, Bat Family content, and it's on sale in that like, you know, $20 to $30 price range, sure, I would say like that's an okay time to pick it up. But otherwise, I would absolutely not recommend the game.
For sure, for sure. But before we go, like I have a couple of questions for you though.
Yeah.
So let's just say like WB Games like put you in charge. They were like, hey, we're riding the ship. We want to do like a brand new game, but it has to be bat centric. What's your pitch?
I mean, I think you got to like it's the same kind of idea that I gave last time, right? Mm-hmm. Which, hey, if you haven't listened to it, go listen to that episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like where I said, you know, take Jason Todd and ride his like origin story all the way through to like, you know, modern arcs. You could do that with any of the Bat family. Like how interesting would it be to take, say, Batgirl, right? From her origin, like growing up with who her father is, becoming Batgirl, being like, you know, knocked all the way down in this tragic story down to Oracle, and then like regaining, you know, her ability to become Batgirl again. Like that would be a really cool game. Same thing with Nightwing, like being the original sidekick to this very brooding hero and then trying to find your own identity. Like any game like that would be like so much better time spent to really get people to love a single character in the universe before you put them in this like collaborative group game.
Oh, for sure. And like, to your credit, like, I think that's a brilliant idea. I also think like that didn't necessarily have to be a long game. Like you can make those like small 8-hour, like Uncharted Lost Legacy type experiences to where you make those small contained games. And, you know, like, I think that'd be perfect. Just spend like, make four separate, like small insulary, like experiences. And I think that could be like a really cool step in the right direction for like the Bat family.
Well, and just acknowledge that up front. Say like we're using the same system for all of these to help reduce our cost, our operatings. Mm-hmm. So we're going to put the games out at a lower price tag. Like that too would bring people in because they're like, holy crap, a new game launched. It's in the Batman universe and it's $40. Like I'm all in, even if it's a short game. Like I think you could pitch this in a way that like builds your DC video game universe.
Oh, kind for of a sure. Feel. For sure. And then you could spin that off into like, you know, if you wanted to do an Arrow game, like a Green Arrow centric type of game, you could easily spin that off. So who would be the bad guys for each of the four villains for you? Like, or each of the four heroes?
Oh, man. See, I always think you have the most fun. It's the most, you know, I'm most familiar with Red Hood. Like I followed all the stuff. You get like all of the bad guys, including Batman as a bad guy. So I think that's like really cool because you start out Robin. Joker is your overarching bad guy forever. So that would be your primary, but you also get to have the bad guys be like Batman.
That would be
and
dope.
Black Mask and like, you know, people along the way. You know, ironically, I think you get the same kind of story out of Batgirl, right? Where it's like, you know, you have a vendetta to build, but also her story becomes different because you're not out for like blood revenge like Red Hood is. You're out for like recovering your character. You're like, no, I'm still a good person. I can still be this, you know, paragon of justice without like wanting to murder everybody. I think you'd get like a really cool arc if you threw, you know, either, you know, when Dick is young or Tim later, where you're like, throw them at the Titans that way. Like you could build this thing up all the way from when they're Robin into like becoming their own person and having, you know, one villain throughout the entire thing because they're established in a Titans arc.
I would love a Teen Titans game too, man.
I think the hardest one you would have would be Damian's. Like if you tried to make a game, because I do really want to see content from him. Like Damian's a really cool character with a really cool backstory. He just doesn't have a lot of content.
No, he really doesn't. Like,
it would be very hard to be like, oh, his primary villain is whoever. Because it's like he kind of has like a lot of enemies and no specific direction.
But like I think that's another reason why this is such a missed opportunity, because like there is a really good, like I think it was Batman and Robin, the animated movie, where he is like fighting Talon. Like Talon is the main primary like villain for that whole like animated movie. And I'm like, that would have been such a really cool like dynamic to see how he juggles, like, because Talon was sort of like a quasi-mentor for him for a little bit. And then, like, he does lean more towards back to being like, okay, Bruce is, like, the right direction. But, like, seeing that back and forth, or, like, seeing his, like, struggle of, like, oh, I knew Talon. Like, I've known Talon for a long time. Like, I don't think Talon killed Bruce. And for him to, like, say why, or, like, to say, like, okay, this is our history with Talon. Like, we can really, like, play off to a story with, like, that history that's between them. And I really would have loved to see what that would have been like. But to your point, though, like, I don't think Damian would have been, like, there's not like a super compelling like story, like this is the Damian story that everyone's waiting for. There's not that in the comics yet. So I don't know what you do there.
Because you get to see like each character become their own thing too over time. Mm-hmm. They like morph and change with different arcs where you see like Dick Grayson go from Robin to Nightwing to working as like actual law enforcement, either as like an agent or whatever, and then back to like his roots in Bloodhaven. Or, you know, taking that from like Damian's perspective, you get to see him kind of like trained as an assassin as a kid and then have a bit of a recovery as Robin, do a little bit of Titans stuff, and then like where we are now, essentially, where he just like leaves to become his own person. That would be like the end of your game.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I'd love to see Naughty Dog do that. I'm not gonna lie, like after what they did with the Uncharted series, I'd love to see them do that. So I gotta ask you though, like going forward with the Batman universe, especially in video games, would you rather see them do something with like Batman in the vein of like an Arkham game, or would you rather see them do something with like Batman Beyond?
So there is my like, there's my gold star pitch is let's see some Terry McGinnis.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Because it's the most major character we have never gotten to see, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I keep waiting for every new Batman announcement where they're like, oh, it's going to be Robert Pattinson. And I was like, how good would it be that they set him up as Batman? No one really loves the idea. And then they're like, oh, by the way, Michael Keaton is in this movie. And you're like, why is Michael Keaton in this? Oh my God, it's because Michael Keaton's playing Bruce again. And like the secret setup is like, yeah, Robert is Batman, but he's Terry Batman from Beyond.
Man, I would love that. Like, I would absolutely love that.
And I think that would be a really fun like game development too, because now you get to play like a little more in that future tech zone with like a suit that flies and enemies that are like non-human at all.
Oh, for sure. And then it's not like to us who've watched like the animated series or like to people who read the comics, like we'll know a lot of those enemies. But for the main, you know, like the main audience and the main core people who are going to be playing that game, they're going to have no idea who these people are. So it's like every character is going to be like new and fresh, and it's going to all feel new and fresh. So I would love to see a Batman Beyond game.
Yes, it makes the Batman Beyond tattoo I have right next to my Red Hood feel good.
So, like, between those two, though, you still would lean Red Hood as far as, like, what game you would rather see first?
Yeah, I mean, Red Hood's, like, near and dear to my heart. I think the character is amazing. Like, they have given him some of the best, like, story development, and he changes the most as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Batman, for better or worse, has been around for, what, like, 80 years?
Yeah.
Is relatively still the new character. Like, the detective stuff drops off and on, and some of the way he does things changes, but he's still the same guy. Like that's still Bruce. That's still Batman. Like however you look at it. And he never changes like in any of the stuff. Even when he is like old man Bruce in Beyond, he's still just Bruce. But like Red Hood is distinctly different characters constantly.
Yeah, that's true.
And they all like tie together very clean where you're like, yeah, he was kind of this rogue Robin that had like anger problems and a bad childhood, like very different from the previous Robin. And then he dies and he becomes Red Hood. And you're like, he's a villain essentially. And he's murdering people, which is not Batman-like behavior.
No, not at all.
But it's entirely in character to him. And then he tries to like remedy everything and come back and be like, you know, this was my family and they're the only people that have ever cared about me. I need to be a part of this. And then, like, you know, when he has these moments where he's despaired from that group, he kind of builds his own new family. And, like, he becomes yet another version of himself where he's like, I've grown and I've changed. And I think that is, like, something you don't get out of a lot of the other members, which I'm sure I'll catch flack for, but, like...
No, I mean, they do have depth, but not to that level, though. I completely agree with that because, like, his whole, I guess you could say his whole identity is all about growth. It's all about, you know, so I'm like, I can completely see where you're coming from with that. But before we go, though, I got two questions I got to ask you. So,
yeah.
What score would you give this 1 out of 10? Gotham Knights.
Yikes.
I know. I'm sorry. I blindsided you, but.
Can I give it a decimal place?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to say like a 5.5.
I think that's spot on. I would agree with that.
Because it's a good enough game that I would still recommend it at like $20, but it is not so good that I would recommend it in any situation, even against other like average games.
I completely agree with that. I think that's a fair assessment because I think, you know, it's right there. I would kind of consider like 5 to be like, it's decent. It's not great. It's not like terrible, but it's decent. So I'd be right there with you on that. But my next question though, where can the good people find you?
If you're looking to find me, the Just Dumb Enough podcast is on pretty much every platform. That's where I do most of my stuff, where, you know, I'm talking to experts and helping everyone just learn things in general, like what don't you know about the world and behavior and jobs around you. And then on all social media, I think it's Dumb Enough Podcast, like at Dumb Enough Podcast on everything. Openly welcome people to come join me. I just got featured for the third time on Podbean, so I am now like their number 3 show right now.
Congratulations, man. Doing big things.
Yeah, come check it out while I'm popular right now, and then hopefully that will continue even when I'm no longer like a featured show.
No, man. Congratulations. You know, I'm happy to see you continue success, man. I can't wait to have you back on the show. We're going to have to like, I know it's going to be 7 years before we get another Batman game, so we're going to have to link up and talk about some other games you're playing though real soon.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, I'd always love to come on. I enjoy our chats. Like, we, you know, have kind of the same thought lines. And I think that's like a fun way to explore, you know, all the single player experiences that are out there and all these games people can play that, like, you know, give you a whole new lens to view the world through.
Oh, for sure.
I love being here.
Oh, man. Thank you again, Colton. I'm going to have to catch you on the next one. But like, again, you're always welcome. And I'm going to link up with you and we're going to talk more single player experiences soon.
All right, I look forward to it.
All right, talk to you later. So that's a wrap for today's show. I want to give a special shout out to Colton Petrie for joining me on this episode and this deep dive of Gotham Knights. Don't put this in your video game backlog, people. Not unless you really, really want to play a Batman-centric game. And you've already played the Batman Arkham games. Because if you haven't, go play those. Those are good games. Don't play Gotham Knights. So that is our recommendation, that you don't put Gotham Knights in your video game backlog list. Hey, if you want me or my community of gamers to give you feedback on your video game backlog list, then join us in the Single Player Experience Discord server. Once you're in, feel free to share your backlog list or just talk about good single player game experiences that you've had lately. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the episode. Don't forget to check out the Just Dumb Enough podcast with Colton Petrie. It is absolutely amazing. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope to catch you in the next one. Peace.